Luke 11:52. We're studying the keys of the kingdom. Luke 11:52 says, "Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered." And we studied in Matthew 16. That's where we quit. Let's go read it one more time. Matthew 16. Verse 19, he's talking to Peter after his confession. He says, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he charged no man that they should tell anybody that he was the Christ. So when I see if we can understand what these keys of the kingdom and the key of knowledge, and we're going to look at some other keys and then we'll summarize it, okay? What? All right, let's go to the next one is, now we're going to spend some time in Revelation. Revelation 1. This is when John was on the Lord's day in the Spirit. He was in the one day, which is the Lord's day. He was, by repentance, he'd ended up into the day of the Lord. Anybody understand that? The day of the Lord is the moment that you accept your death. And the day of the Lord begins. Then the Sabbath is truly met.
Where does it say this?
Say what?
What you just said, Revelation 1.
Well, we're not there yet. I'm talking in general about the day of the Lord. He's in the day.
He was in the Spirit.
On the Lord's day.
So that could be any time.
It can't be any time. He couldn't have seen what he sees unless he was in eternity. He was in the same place that Moses went when he was received the pattern. He was in the same place that Isaiah was when he saw the day of the Lord. And he's the same place that you are the moment you accept your death. You no longer live in time and space. It's the day that you can then look from the top down. It's not negotiable. Otherwise, you're just in the days. As long as you're in the days, that's why it says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. How do you redeem the time? The only way, one way to redeem the time is to accept your death. Is that?
Well, that's why I was asking where it was. I wanted to see how they indicated.
All right, let's start in verse 9. Well, let's start in 1. We might as well start in 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of this word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, or this forthtelling, and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now what day When did John see this?
The time was at hand.
Well, he had to see it on the day of Pentecost. Because on the day of Pentecost is when the New Jerusalem came down adorned as a bride for her husband. So the New Jerusalem came down the first time and forever on Pentecost. And that's what John saw when he was on the island on the Feast of Pentecost. Well, it didn't matter where he was, but that's the point. All right?
Any particular feast or the feast that...
It was a feast that Pentecost.
Chapter 2, Acts.
Well, it's all about Pentecost because Pentecost is when eternity came down and touched. The heavenly Matrona came down and joined with the earthly Matrona. That's the understanding that you can't understand any of the other keys unless you understand that is the main key. The recognition that heaven is no longer up, heaven is here. It's our surrounding reality. Amen?
Inner surrounding or outer surrounding? It's inner and then outer?
It's both. And all of time and space is passing through. The temple is down. Boom. And all of time and space is passing, and it's going the opposite direction. It's passing from west to east. And anything that didn't originate in the temple in eternity goes out the east gate, which is, then it goes into the dump, the Gehenna, and everything that originated in eternity stays in the temple. That's why, well, there's so many things, but we have to go all the way back to Genesis when they ate of the tree that knows good and evil. The first thing, the first recorded words of Adam of God after that are, who told you you were naked? Who told you you needed something? Who told you that the things, the situation that you're in should be different than it is? Who told you that? This is why the understanding of the curse is so critically important to understand everything else in the Bible. Because without understanding the curse, You will believe you have some righteousness and some life. So you keep trying, never ending, trying to fix. Can't be fixed. A little bit. He alone has immortality. You don't have immortality. It's impossible for man to have immortality. Anybody understand that? Well, you're shaking your head, yes, but there's, anyway. John to the seven churches in verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. All and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardi, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks was like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He, his head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. But in verse 18, where it says, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. So that's kind of an important key that he holds. We don't have anything to do with that key. We don't know who is going into hell. We don't know anything about it. That's the way it's been, right? But we do know what some of these keys are. Am I communicating at all? Am I just, anybody understanding what I'm talking about?
Like you're setting the platform for your day.
Yeah. All right, so let's go now to Revelation 3.
When heaven descended to the earth on Pentecost, like you're talking about, what about hell? Is that a whole different story, or is there a consciousness of hell here also?
Remember, again, it's the whole shebang. The New Jerusalem has as a part of it the dump. That dump was in the Valley of Kidron. It was called Gehenna. So everything that goes, that didn't originate in the temple, goes out through that gate and down into the pit.
The pit's hell?
Hmm?
The pit is hell?
The pit is hell. Anybody see that? I mean, I don't want to go on if this is not, has some basis of understanding. Again, because nothing in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, can be understood unless you're looking from the top down. But if you're looking in time, then you come up with all these weird things of helicopters flying around, and, you know.
There's implications of time here, though, that when you're so adamant about time, that it sometimes confusing, because how can he be the first and the last?
That's the whole point. How can one being be first and last unless there is no time? How can he be Alpha and Omega at the same time?
So he's all things.
Hmm?
He's all things.
Yeah, but he is without he went into time so that we had a chance to go into eternity.
But he created it all for his own purpose. So you've made time such an enemy that it's a four-letter word, but time is part of what God created.
Tell you
purpose.
Unless you again, everything is dependent on these keys, and once you see the end, the futility of everything in time and space, that's what has to happen before the beginning can begin.
But that doesn't make time an enemy. It's a medium.
It's the medium of rebellion. The days
maybe
are,
the,
I didn't do it.
Maybe it's the medium of salvation.
Let's go to Matthew 5. Who's got one of those magic evil machines that tell us exactly where redeem the time for the days are evil is? The only one that has a machine is Ronnie, and doesn't know how to run it.
It's not very evil.
It would be true.
All right, Gary, you have a homework. Redeem the time for the days are evil. Right?
Well, I don't know if that answers the question. That's a dodge to me.
If the days are evil, evil serves a purpose. I'm not saying it doesn't serve a purpose. It's the purpose of testing the seed. Mm-hmm. There's the promises of God to go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. Each of those seeds in us is a part of the mystery of the bride of Christ. Nothing can begin until the recognition happened that the days are evil.
Okay, well, it's in the framework of time that this develops and happens and is seen. So I don't think time is good or bad in this sense. It's what it is.
It's what it says. Redeem the time for the days are evil.
But
I didn't make that up. Because it's probably would be the first or the second key.
Time or seeing time. Correct.
Seeing that the days are evil. Man, I didn't make this up.
I'm not saying you made it up, but you emphasize certain points.
Well, again, because there's no zeal without understanding that the days are evil. Because then you can justify being in time. You justify rebellion. That's a big deal.
It is, yeah.
I mean, just let's go back to a basic. In Luke 16, let's go back to Luke. I can't find that scripture. Verse 14, chapter 16 of Luke. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now, whatsoever is highly esteemed among men is abomination to God. What do you esteem? Stop a minute and think about it. What do you esteem as something valuable, as something good? What, and even if it says if it's whatever is highly esteemed, is what do you just esteem in a little bit? God wants us out of time. God wants us to be in the day. That's otherwise there's no test.
Otherwise there's no test.
Right. Because you're just running around in the world doing your own stuff, and there's you're convinced that it's right and you're doing the right thing, but then it comes along with this and many other scriptures. Whatsoever is highly esteemed among men is abomination. That just blows everything out of the tub.
Yeah.
So you have to be, and I had to go through this. I said, what do I esteem? And I esteemed a lot of things. And that, the beginning didn't happen at my conversion. The beginning happened when I saw the days were evil. The beginning, the conversion is a beginning. It's unless you be converted and become as that little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. So, you be converted is the conversion experience, but then it's everything after that is sanctification, to get all the pepper out of the salt shaker, so that you esteem nothing in time and space. Nothing. In other words, you don't eat any more dust. You're not getting your sustenance and satisfaction from all the little things that you've done your whole life and that you've esteemed your whole life.
I can see where the days are evil, but I don't understand the time.
I found that scripture. It's Ephesians 5:16.
Well, there's a one like that in Matthew too, but you understand that we are trying to put our own image on the mystery of God, and it can't work.
Did you say a minute ago that the test doesn't begin until you're?
So you know you're in eternity. Then the test is to see if anything can draw you out of eternity. So the earth is no longer your home, only your new Jerusalem. You're born from the beginning. The only test of the test is whether there's anything in time and space that can pull you out of eternity, even for a split second. And it has nothing to do with what we think is a test. That's child's play to God. But just think about it. Think about Jesus Christ and who he was and who he is in us. He didn't change. He had to go through all of this and constantly being tempted to put his eyes on man instead of the will of God. God had nothing to do with time and space, except it was the womb for the bride. Otherwise, you're just running, you're like a sperm cell going up the birth canal, trying to get to the egg, and you stop and build a city. You stop and build a denomination, and you stop and build, you know, any number of things. These are the fundamental basics of Christianity. What? Don't be like Nick. forgive me, Lord. He disagreed with something that I said, and he's held on to it for weeks. Well, you understand the days are evil, don't you?
Yes.
So redeeming the time means you see that the days are evil, so you let time. You're not subject to time anymore. You don't give it any breath.
So you're liberated from the bondage of cause and effect.
That's one of the biggies. Remember, there are two exoduses. Both times, only the very poor came out. There are three exoduses. The first exodus was when the Pharaoh that wasn't in the lineage of Joseph, the Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, when that Pharaoh took over and took over from the Hyksos dynasty, then all the wealth and the people that had any money at all left. But they went to the nice places like in Crete and Malta and Greece and the Mediterranean. The next one was the exodus of the poor. The other exodus didn't mean anything. It was only the exodus of those that had come to the end of themselves. Making bricks without straw. That's the great metaphor. That's the only one that can hear the gospel. And then the same thing happened after when all of the tribes were shipped off to Babylon. And then Ezra and Nehemiah tried to call them back. And only a very few came back. It was only the poor, the ones that were in the same place, tired of making bricks without straw. No longer subject. They no longer wanted any more of that. They saw the vanity and emptiness of their own imaginations. And then they heard, and then they came back. And then as soon as they got back, they started building the temple. Then for 18 years, they did a little bit, and then they neglected it. And they're more concerned with their own sealed houses and their own lives than they were with the kingdom of God. And then all hell broke loose. That's what Haggai, rob God. And then finally the temple was finished. That's the Zerubbabel temple. And then it shut all the rest of all of it. The whole thing is about rebellion. And very few here. These are the beginning of the keys of the kingdom. Enter into the rest. The rest is enter into the Sabbath, is what it says. That Sabbath is the end of your own labors, period. Don't have an evil eye anymore. An evil eye is the eye that toils. There's a whole deal. They call it the Megafest in Dallas, and it was all about how God wants you to be excited and worth and work and have a great life, and how you can be like all of the celebrities they had there. A couple of which weren't even believers, but. That's what your mind wants. Your mind wants a gospel. That's the gospel of man, the good news for man. It's not good news for man. It's not good news for you or I. It's the worst possible news you can have for your own identity. Because your death is the first key to the kingdom. Well, nobody else says that. I don't care if anybody else says it or not. I can prove it in 15 ways in the scriptures. Saying anything about who's saved and not saved, but we are called, and for our what this is intense. I mean, everything I've just said, I've said every just about every Bible study in one way or another since the 70s. We haven't gotten to that yet. We're just on the first and second key.
So there are more than, there are several keys. Is there a limited number, like there's six, seven?
Well, there's a key of knowledge, the key of the kingdom, the key of death and Hades, the key of David. But we're just on the very beginning of the keys here. But these are, look, I have to preach what I see. What you see is dependent on a lot of things that aren't my business. My business is to be faithful, to preach the cross, and to look at the scriptures through the eyes of the cross. And that makes the scriptures come alive. And they all say the same thing from Genesis to Revelation. But all of them have as their predicate coming out of first the world system, and then time and space, and then cause and effect. And it's not easy to come out of those things if you have an investment in any of them. But all I'm asking you to do, as we've talked about a whole bunch lately, is if you see something, and if something is going on in terms of the preaching or what you see in the scriptures that challenges what you're doing, don't justify it. Say, Father, forgive me. I don't know what else to do. Show me. To always put it back on him. But what sets me off, and I guess I have to believe it's of God, because I don't want to like to get, it is when we justify rebellion. I know a great deal about rebellion. I know how it smells, I know how it tastes, I know how it looks. And it's become so odious that I don't know what, I can't abide it is the best word, I guess. So the point that I'm making is, if you have a position that you disagree with or that you don't understand, I'd ask you to search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. And if you tell me, well, I don't know how to do that, yes, you do. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't even know what the Bible was. I never opened the Bible in my life since, I had a catechism thing even when I was a kid. Just, follow your own hunger. Follow your own questions. But don't ever do it unless you've got it. The cross has to be the predicate of everything else. The question is, where are you keeping the evil one? Where are you keeping yourself alive? And there may be many ways. It may be one. And if you don't feel like you can do it, just say, Father, this is yours. You've got to provide it. You've got to do it. Amen. But please, please, please. I know everybody justifies rebellion in your own mind. We're going to see in the first words, and then if we ever get through the next couple of scriptures, then we're starting Luke 12. And Luke 12 is really the Sermon on the Mount, but it's placed in the time frame of where Matthew put it at the very first. Luke, remember, he put all things in order. So he studied carefully to find out when these things that were talked about happened. And so now is in time, and if you want to say it, look at it that way, in time or in order, this is when the best evidence was at the time that Christ gave the Sermon on the Mount. Now you'll see, there's an interesting word. He said, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And it means, and again, it's the first beware, above all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy has nothing, we think hypocrisy, the word in Greek, means a stage, an act, a player on a stage. And so, all of us have spent a lifetime trying to figure out who we were. And sometimes we have been successful and we created a being, but everything about us we created. And so you've got to stop. The one thing I pray that will happen is that never again will there be anything inside that isn't outside also. So that these meetings will never be a monologue. They're a dialogue. Because that's the only way that the things within you can be tested. Otherwise, you're an actor. So above all, first of all, beware of hypocrisy. Now that's the one thing that of all, I used to call them the airy guys, because neither Harry nor Gary can stand to have something going on inside them that isn't coming out. And that's why when Gary, now I miss Harry because then we had two, but that's why it's really odious to me to teach Bible study when Gary isn't here. And I'm serious. Because
thanks
it's
a lot.
Huh?
Thanks a lot.
Well, you're coming along. you're starting.
Well, what about me?
Well, you're sometimes you don't even know what you're saying.
I know, but I'm still encouraged to prophesy or speak what's on me, and that's what's on me.
All right,
and
that's
I'm
fine.
What I'm talking about.
I know, but Gary does it better than you do.
You're making me the enemy of the class.
But you can see saying that would make me have a tendency to say, okay, well, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Well, then you're really going to be a hypocrite. Beware. First of all, beware of hypocrisy.
Yeah. Looking right at it.
Anyway, we're way over time. Take it, big guy.